It's Amateur Traveler, episode 753. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about hikes and vistas, cactus and cliffs, murals, and the Rio Grande as we go to Big Bend National Park and southwestern Texas. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about Texas. I would like to welcome back to the show Jason and Janie Hull, who are longtime listeners of the show, and they have been on the show 5 times for Jason and 4 times for Janie, as we're counting this, have talked about Fort Worth, Charlottesville, Namibia, Bavaria and Southern Germany, and Barbados, but not in that order, in the opposite order. Jason and Janie, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us.
And if people who are newer listeners don't recognize their names, it's because the last time they were on was half the lifetime of Amateur Traveler ago, back at episode 370. We are talking about a place in the state you live this time. We're going someplace in Texas, and it is not someplace that most people go. Where are we going?
We are going to go to Big Bend National Park and then the Alpine and Marfa area in southwest Texas.
Excellent. And why should someone go to Big Bend National Park and the Alpine and Marfa, Texas area?
Well, if you like dark skies, wide open places, uncrowded parks, and a lot of artistic value, then this should be high on your list.
And hiking.
Oh, and hiking.
Okay. Well, and in 2021, when we're recording this, doing a road trip vacation to big spaces with lots of social distancing is probably a smart idea anyway. What kind of itinerary are you going to recommend for us?
So this is a place that you could do in about 7 days. You could tack on some stuff, but I think if you have a 7-day itinerary, you will feel like you've seen a lot of it and you won't have left a lot behind. It's the itinerary that would let you go back if you wanted to, but if you never go back, you're not going to feel like you're missing out on a lot either.
Okay. And what kind of itinerary are you going to recommend?
Should we get into the itinerary?
Sure, let's do that.
Yeah. Okay. So
it's okay. You're rusty. It happens.
Yeah. Well, and as you had said in our pre-show discussion, my mind is clearly falling off of a cliff. So completely out of practice. So what we're going to tell you is the itinerary that we would do, not necessarily the itinerary that we did.
That's fine.
Because fortunately we have the benefit of hindsight.
Exactly.
What I would recommend is that you spend the first 3 to 4 days of your trip down in the Big Bend area. And when I say the Big Bend area, that actually encompasses both the Big Bend National Park as well as the Big Bend Ranch State Park.
Okay. Well, we should put this on a map for people who are not from Texas. So if you can picture that map of Texas in your mind, you know it's got two bumps at the bottom. We're in the leftmost bump.
Yeah.
So we're in the local southernmost point, but there's one further east that goes further south.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. If you wanted to drive from El Paso, Texas to the center of Big Bend National Park, that's about a 250-mile drive.
Okay.
And like we are, if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, it's going to be about a 7.5 to 8.5 hour drive. If you live in Austin, it's probably about 6 hours.
So it's in the neighborhood of El Paso only if you're a Texan and consider your neighborhoods are really big.
Correct.
That's right.
Okay. Okay. So we're in Southern, the Big Bend Ranch State Park and the Big Bend National Park. Are we camping or are we staying someplace nearby?
So that is totally dependent on you and your choices, as well as the equipment that you have. So I think in an ideal world of druthers, we would probably have an RV that was towing a 4-wheel drive high clearance vehicle.
Okay.
some sort of Jeep that can navigate some tricky terrain, because there is a lot of the park and a lot of the roads, the scenic drives, both in the national park and the state park, that require high clearance vehicles. And given that we drove down in a 2011 Toyota Avalon, we had to look at them longingly and pass on those opportunities. But there is lodging. There are Airbnbs. There are a couple of hotels in the Chilingua area. There is a lodge on Big Bend National Park in the Chisos Basin. And if you wanted to glamp it, there's even a set of yurts, high-end glamping yurts in, I think it was Studi Butte, which is spelled like study and then B-U-T-T-E.
Okay.
There's a wide variety. And if you wanted to camp, if you wanted to backcountry hike, you would need a permit, but you could certainly backcountry hike. There were plenty of backcountry trails, like the South Rim Trail is one that you could probably go and backcountry hike. There are not a lot of campsites. So if you are planning on bringing an RV or you want to car camp and stay in a tent, then make sure that you check recreation.gov or check with the park itself to make sure that you can reserve a spot. There's also a lot of RV parks in the Terlingua area, okay, which is one of the little towns right outside.
Between the two parks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also home to a chili cook-off in November. So if you want to burn your tongue off, that's a great time to go. There are more places there than what you would find on your travel apps, but it's not a place I would just rock up and assume that I can find some place to stay overnight. When we were there, the person at the Alpine Visitor Center had specifically mentioned that it was much more crowded this year than she had seen it before. And I think that's a reflection of COVID-19.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. As well. When we were there, all the signs said campground full, campground full, campground full. So if you're going to stay in the park, make sure that you reserve in advance. Even if you want to stay in an RV park or something like that, at least reserve your first night, and that will give you time to drive around and make phone calls.
Got it.
You'll probably have to find some high elevation to make some phone calls, because either that or you'll have to go to like a visitor center and use Wi-Fi calling, because the reception is very, very spotty down there. Mm-hmm. I was taken back to like 2004 and 5 when 3G came out, because we were excited to get one bar of 3G down there. So you have to remember that Terlingua and Studi Butte both have about 200 full-time residents each. Lajitas, which is on the west side and has a golf course and a spa and a resort, probably only has a few hundred people. Even Marfa only has 1,500 people, and Alpine, I think, is about 5,000 people. So this is a place that's not very well populated, and it's not particularly developed in terms of a lot of infrastructure to handle travelers. So it is a trip that if you have the ability, you want to try and plan ahead.
Okay. And then you're just coming back, and we're recording this at the start of April. And so you did that intentionally, doing this in April instead of doing this in summer, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you're recommending an April trip or maybe November for this chili cook-off?
So probably in March or early April, because you want to be able to catch the blooms of the desert.
Got it. Okay.
And they tend to bloom early. And the one exception to that little time frame, kind of November through March or early April, would be if you wanted to go to the Elephant Mountain Wildlife Management Area, which doesn't open up until May 1st.
Got it.
They specifically try and protect, it sounds like a kind of a convoluted mission. They try and protect wildlife while at the same time they offer hunting expeditions.
Okay.
But that is an area that we didn't get to go. But if you're interested in what they have to offer, then you would have to go in May, but probably in July, unless you happen to like walking on the surface of the sun, I would try and avoid it.
Okay. And what are we doing and what are we going to find there?
Okay. So the first couple of days, we're going to be in Big Bend National Park. Mm-hmm. So Big Bend National Park has three main areas. So if you think of it, it's almost like a hub and spoke. So Panther Junction Visitor Center is almost dead middle of the park. And that's a good place to start to get your orientation, to see if there are any ranger hikes, to do a little nature walk and kind of get oriented to the flora and fauna of the area. And then there are three separate areas. And so I say you do one big area a day. So the three areas are Rio Grande Village, mm-hmm. which has camping and an RV park and a little, if you've been to the national parks and you go into the little sundry store and the laundry and the showers, sure. you've got one of those. Really the big draw of the Rio Grande Village area is called Boquillas Canyon. You will need to bring your passport. How often have you heard you need to bring your passport to a national park? Boquillas Canyon is right by the Rio Grande. The Rio Grande mm-hmm. is the southern border between the United States and Mexico, at least in Texas. And they have a crossing there. The crossing was closed because of COVID. So you would only be able to do this if they have raised the restrictions. But you're able to go over, visit the little town of Boquillas, have some tacos, look at the trinkets. They're talking about opening up some cave expeditions, but that obviously was put on hold because of COVID. The other area that you could check out, there are two other areas. One is called Grapevine Hills. That has a hike that leads to something called Balanced Rock. So if you look at Instagram pictures of Big Ben, you'll often see people standing underneath a rock that appears to be hovering over them. That's Balanced Rock. Okay. There's also a Hot Springs Historic Area, which has a soaking springs. That was closed because of COVID, but in the non-pandemic times, bring your swim trunks and you can close out your day relaxing there and working off sore muscles from your hike or working off your tacos. The second area in Big Bend National Park is called Santa Elena Canyon.
Well, and before you move away from Rio Grande, because I'm also seeing that there is river rafting in the area as well.
Yeah. So let's stop the itinerary here and let's talk about if you are into adventure sports, there are outfitters in Terlingua and Studi Butte that would organize half day or day long river expeditions into the canyons. And they usually will start in Boquillas. Okay. And they will end in Santa Elena Canyon. You can even do multi-day adventures. And this is mainly kayaking and canoeing and light rafting. This isn't going to be like the New River.
It's not whitewater.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're not going to be in class four, class
it's
five
a
rapids.
Float this is trip, not a whitewater trip. Okay. That's
definitely right. A float trip.
That can still be fun, but it's a different kind of fun. Okay.
Yeah. It's a different kind of fun. I think there's a zip line that they have down there. We didn't check it out. We didn't do any of the guided tours, but they are out there. So if you're an outdoors adventure type of person. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but you could also do rock climbing. So there are a lot of places that you could, if you were so inclined, no pun intended, do a rock climbing expedition as well. So it's not El Capitan, but definitely some good rock climbing. Janie and I did some kind of boulder scrambles, but we weren't pulling out the pitons or anything like that.
Well, and you mentioned this being a desert area. As I'm looking at pictures, the rock climbing is in many places unencumbered with vegetation, let's just say.
Yes. So if you start in Alpine or you start in Marfa and you work your way south mm-hmm. to go to Big Bend, you actually will see some mountains, some very isolated mountains on your drive down. So I'd mentioned the Elephant Mountain Wildlife Management Area is a good example. And those are the very southern end of the Rockies.
Okay.
And then you get into the Chisos Mountains, which is one of the areas that we'll talk about in a minute, in Big Bend National Park, which then extends beyond the river and into northern Mexico. So it is mountainous. You mm-hmm. will see, particularly if you drive from Panther Junction down to Boquillas Canyon, you see that change in elevation. You go through the Chihuahuan Desert. But you're also seeing mountains. You'll see mountains off to your right, which is the Chisos Basin. And then Santa Elena Canyon is also kind of an offshoot, more volcanic rock that you'll get to see as a result of the Chisos Basin.
Okay.
So there is mountain. And I'll get to that in a minute when we talk about the Chisos Basin, the juxtaposition.
Okay.
All right. So the second day, I would recommend going to Santa Elena Canyon. We did not do a couple of the trails that I think would be interesting if we had more time. One is the Chimney Trail, which leads to indigenous petroglyphs. And then we drove by and saw the mule ears, which is a pretty interesting little terrain feature. I think you'll probably just have to show the picture in the enhanced version that looks like a pair of mule's ears. There's a hike that leads up to that, that also you get to see volcanic activity. It's called Tuff. It's like compressed ash. So it's white rock. And then you're heading to the canyon. So you would wrap up your day after doing a couple of those hikes with going into Santa Elena Canyon itself and doing the hike into the canyon. So that's about about a mile and a half hike.
Oh, no, it's only 0.75 miles.
A mile and a half round trip. It just seemed very long. But there's a somewhat contiguous boardwalk that leads to the Rio Grande.
Okay.
I think it might be accessible. If you're limited in your mobility, I would check with a park ranger just to make sure. But you could go play in the river. Don't cross over into Mexico at that place.
Okay.
We'd see a sign. There's a $5,000 fine if you cross into Mexico and come back. And even if you cross into Mexico, you're in a canyon that's 1,500 feet high on each side. So you're not going to go anywhere.
Chris, okay. Do you remember in the movie The Princess Bride, the Cliffs of Insanity?
Yes.
That is what the Santa Elena Canyon looks like.
Okay.
No joke. It's gorgeous, but it is just straight up 1,500 feet.
Okay.
On either side.
Got it.
Which it's one of the more striking canyons I think we've seen. And we've hiked the Narrows.
Well, and the funny thing is you're saying don't cross over. There's a river there. But the river is the Rio Grande, which is not as big and grand as the name would imply.
Certainly not at that point
yep.
in the park. I mean, there are areas where it's wider, deeper.
Mm-hmm. Crossing over is physically possible, just not recommended.
Definitely.
Not
yeah,
legal.
in places, it's going to be ankle deep. Mm-hmm. And even at Boquillas Canyon, you can walk across the Rio Grande, or you can get someone to canoe you over. So you can go either way. And if you get someone to canoe you over, it's $5. Make sure that you bring cash. I think they take both pesos and dollars there. So it's a pretty shallow river, mm-hmm. at least at the areas that we saw in the park.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you still got the energy, we did the Chihuahuan Desert Nature Trail, which I thought was pretty informative. It certainly taught you more and allowed you to see more of the different types of desert plants that you would see. So you'd learn about the different types of cacti that you would see.
Are you talking about the Chihuahua Desert Nature Trail?
Correct.
Okay. Am I pronouncing that wrong?
It might be Chihuahua or Chihuahuan.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Got it. It is Chihuahuan. You are correct. Named after the place in Mexico, not the small dog.
Correct. Yes. I think small dogs out, the small dog of that variety would struggle greatly to survive down there.
Okay.
So, but there are a couple of plants that are native to this area that you will only see in this area, and that's where you get to learn about them. And that's also where we had the encounter that when you ask your question about only in this area, you know, makes you laugh and say only in this area. That's where we'll tell you that story.
Well, okay.
I got to keep your listeners listening, Gary. Yeah, there's a big payoff at the end.
Fair enough. It's my rules, but that's well, you're playing the game by my rules. I can understand that.
All right. And so on day three, we would finish up Big Bend National Park in the Chisos Basin. So this is the area that is, to me, significantly different from everywhere else in the Big Bend National Park. So you will encounter significant elevation changes there. It's 6,000 to 7,000 feet high.
Oh,
so
cool.
When mm-hmm. you're down in Santa Elena Canyon, you're at about 1,500 feet. And when you're up in the Chisos Basin, you're anywhere between 5,000 and 7,500 feet, depending on where you are. And as a result, it is a very different climate. Mm-hmm. And very different experience. So you see a lot of forest trees. So you see Douglas firs, You see pine trees, you see maples. If you are lucky or unlucky, depending on your point of view, you will see bears and mountain lions in this area.
Hmm. Okay.
So it's very different.
Bears in Texas is stretching my mental model of Texas.
Yes, that was kind of the theme of this entire trip, to be honest.
Yeah, it doesn't look anything like the I-35 corridor that you see going from Dallas to Austin.
But in a good way.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Very different. And I have no idea how they got there, and I'm sure they don't migrate anywhere else. So they're kind of stuck in this little area. But there, a trail that you can do, if you're an early riser, you can start on the Window Trail. There's something called the Windows Overlook, which is actually on the Oak Springs Trail, which is a great sunrise or sunset view. But the first trail we'd recommend that you do is the Lost Mine hike. And the reason for that is that parking is very limited in the Lost Mine hike, and it is away from the Chisos Basin Visitor Center. So I believe the other trails I'll mention you can reach from the Visitor Center. And there's a lodge there. There's a restaurant there. The restaurant was closed during COVID, so they only offered box lunches from 12 to 4. But if you want to do the Lost Mine Trail, there's limited parking. There's probably only about 25 or 30 spaces, so you'll want to get there very early.
Okay.
That's one that we did. It's about a 2.5-mile hike. You gain 1,100 feet in elevation, and you get to see a lot of different changes both in the flora as well as in the view that overlooks some canyons that you don't get to see anywhere else, that you're not going to be able to see by car. So if you've got the ability to do that hike, it's a great hike. It's moderately strenuous. If you can't go that far, go 1 mile. There'll be a big turn. You'll oversee kind of a canyon view. You've probably gotten 75% of the views going that 1 mile before you turn back.
Got it.
Then you would do the Windows Trail. And if you've got more time and you are an avid hiker, you could do the South Rim Trail, which I believe is about 11 miles. And you could also hike up and climb up Emery Peak, which is the tallest mountain in the national park. I believe it's about 7,900 feet or so. I'm sure by the time you get to the show notes, you'll have the actual height of Emery Peak. So also, let me advise a couple of things that we did that we thought were very helpful for Big Bend National Park. One is we downloaded an app called Just Ahead.
Okay.
It's an iPhone app. I don't know if it's on other platforms, but it does a driving tour of the park. And at least as of April 2021, when we did it, it's free. And it is excellent. It's like being on a bus tour and having the guide come on the mic every few minutes and tell you something interesting about a place that you're driving by. So we found it invaluable. Highly, highly recommend using it. We bought it for Yellowstone and thought it was great. And Big Bend was also great. And it was free.
And they do have an Android version as well.
Okay, excellent. The other thing that we recommend that you do is get both a downloaded version of maps that you can use offline, as well as the original offline version of maps, which is a physical copy.
Okay.
So we had an atlas, we got maps at the visitor center, and then we downloaded on Google Maps, we downloaded Brewster County and Presidio County, as well as downloading Terlingua, Big Bend National Park, Studi Butte, Alpine, Lajitas, Presidio, and Marfa, because you will be out of range a lot of the time. And we had the traveler's worst nightmare when Waze only showed the blue screen of death while we were driving.
Right. Yeah.
So fortunately, we had the Just Ahead app and we had our other maps to help us out. So you can do that ahead of time and that'll save you a lot of grief and heartache. And it will help you, especially if you're staying in Terlingua or Studi Butte and you want to find restaurants. It's really hard to pull up Yelp in one bar of 3G. And so having that download Google Maps will also let you find restaurants and other places of interest that you might want to go.
Yeah, and I do also recommend, as I have on the show before, the maps.me free app that you can just go in and say download maps by state. And it works pretty well. It doesn't work quite as well as Google Maps and some of the others, but it's very easy to download all the pieces that you need for particular states or particular countries even.
Yep. And if you're staying in Terlingua, I know we had said, so one other thing is you have to make sure that you are well provisioned for your trip. Mm-hmm. So we had a cooler in our car the whole time. We had ice. We had a lot of water. It's very dry. You're going to drink more water than you're used to.
Sure.
We both have water bladders that we use on our hikes. Bring snacks, especially, and I hate to keep harping on COVID, but during the pandemic, a lot of places are closed.
Sure.
And there aren't a lot of places in Big Bend National Park where you can stop and grab a snack. So like if you're going through Yellowstone, there are all the little lodges that you can go to and grab something to eat. You're not going to get that in Big Bend National Park. So we tended to eat breakfast. Then we'd go into the park, make sure that we had enough snacks and water and anything else that we would need to last us the entire day. And then we would go eat dinner, usually in Alpine, because that's where we were staying, or Terlingua. So make sure that you're prepared. This isn't as easy of a park to get around in as some others are, and you can be caught out. So also bring a bear bell.
Bear bell, a bell to make you loud and obnoxious so the bears walk away.
Exactly, because bears have twice the hearing that humans do.
Got it.
They can hear you from a ways away. So that was something that I'm glad that we did, because we had apples and snacks and plenty of water so that we weren't forced to leave the park before we were ready to go in any given day.
Because you were staying an hour away from the park?
Almost 2 hours away. So Alpine is an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah, which is why for this particular itinerary, we recommend staying either in Studio Butte or Terlingua, which is much, much closer to the park. If you're going to be doing day trips in and out of the park for more than 1 or 2 days, staying closer is a huge time saver.
Got it. Excellent. Where to next?
Okay, so we've covered Big Bend National Park. I mean, there are still plenty of hikes that you could do. You could easily make a 7-day itinerary just in the park. Day 4, we're going to go through Big Bend Ranch State Park and head to Marfa. We're going to end the day in Fort Davis. So Big Bend Ranch State Park is about a third the size of Big Bend National Park.
Okay.
It's one of the larger state parks in Texas. And for us, that was the prettiest drive that we saw. We were just stunned at how beautiful it was. In fact, the way that we did it, we drove through the park. We went to Presidio. We stopped. We had a coffee. And then we decided to turn around and go back the other way.
Okay.
See all the things that we might miss not by looking in that direction. It was that good. There are also great visitor centers on both ends. And on the Presidio end, it was a fort. I believe this is Fort Layton. And it was also a trader village. So they have a lot of artifacts and rooms set up that you could see what it was like to live there. Grab a snack in Presidio, or if you're feeling fine, you would head north and go to Marfa. You may have heard of Marfa before. If you have ever watched the movie Giant, then that movie was set in Marfa.
Okay, you're talking about the James Dean movie?
Yeah, the James Dean, Rock Hudson, Elizabeth Taylor movie was set there. And there are a couple of other ones that were set there. So Andromeda Strain, Fandango, Good Old Boys, but really Giant is the one that it's known for. But it is a very artistic little town.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a fan of Beyonce or Matthew McConaughey, you may have seen them. Instagram, Gram, blog, post. I don't know what the word is that the cool kids use for Instagram.
I don't try and be the cool kid, so.
I don't either. But it's an interesting, artsy little town.
Mm-hmm.
We enjoyed going to the hotel that is there called the El Paisano. They have a big exhibit on Giant. And I'm not sure, but it may have actually been the setting for some of the movie. We watched the movie afterwards. So it was kind of neat to see some of the architecture and go, oh, yeah, we went there. But that's, again, depending if you're doing this after the pandemic, hopefully there is an Andy Warhol, The Last Supper, that is supposed to be on display. It was closed. So there are a lot of art galleries, a lot of neat little shops that you can go into and shop for things. But it's probably a half a day that you would want to spend there. And then you would head north to Fort Davis. Fort Davis is actually a place that we're going to say that you spend an entire day there. But what you'll want to do on that fourth day is two things. One is check out the Fort Davis National Historical Site. Mm-hmm. It's the fort from Fort Davis.
Right.
The interesting part is that's where West Point's first black graduate, Henry Flipper, was stationed.
Probably not because it was the most prestigious station at the time.
No. I think if you read up about him, you will see that he was not well treated. But it's interesting.
big surprise that, but okay.
Yeah, I know. And then this is something that I believe you will need reservations for is the McDonald Observatory. And that is a giant observatory. So one of the things that we didn't mention of Wyga, this area, is both Big Bend National Park and Big Bend Ranch State Park are international dark sky parks.
Okay.
There's Big Bend National Park is one of only 10 national parks in the world. I think the only one in the contiguous 48 of the United States that is an international dark sky park. And so this observatory is a place where you're able to go through, do the tour, see the big telescope, you get to look at and probably see things that you're home telescope or binoculars will never let you see. We did a couple of nights where we just stargazed for a little while. And the only place that I think I've ever seen stars like that was on the east side of Zion National Park.
Okay.
So incredible stargazing. You can see the Milky Way and it twinkles. It's really neat. So you want to do the McDonald Observatory, stay in Marfa, stay in Fort Davis.
And the McDonald Observatory has daytime tours and nighttime stargazing parties.
Okay. Interesting. Just getting back to Fort Davis a little bit here, I was curious, and so I looked it up. So Lieutenant Flipper, the first black graduate from West Point, the reason why he was out here was it was a 10th Cavalry or the Buffalo Soldiers post, which is kind of what I thought it would be.
Okay.
Who would you put him in charge of in that day and age? And when I say that day and age, we're talking about 1878. So quite a while ago.
Yes.
So an all-black cavalry regiment who we've talked about at various times on the show before, but fascinating history.
Yeah. So if you're into the history of the Buffalo Soldiers, then you can kind of trace that path as well, and you would intersect with Fort Davis.
Yep.
And so we're going to stay in Fort Davis on day five. So this is the day of the itinerary that we were not able to do because of COVID. So there are two areas that you'll want to check out. One is Davis Mountains State Park. So there's a lot of hiking there that you can do that it has some similarities and some differences from Big Bend National Park. So you'll get to see a little bit different type of desert and mountain structures and some different flora than you did in the Big Bend National Park. And then there's an Indian lodge there that's pretty interesting to check out. And you might actually have stayed there the night before. And then we would recommend going to Balmorhea State Park and bring your swim gear because they have a 25-foot deep natural pool.
Okay.
So spend the day swimming, working, burning up your calories because you're going to drive to Alpine and you're going to eat at Riata, which those of you who listened to the Fort Worth episode will recognize that we talked about Riata in the Fort Worth episode.
And now it's a long drive from Fort Worth to Alpine.
Yes, 7.5 hours for us. So, or 375 episodes, give or take.
Touche.
The original Riata restaurant is in Alpine.
Got it. Okay.
And we referenced Giant, the movie.
Okay.
The ranch that Rock Hudson had was called Riata, and that's what they named it for.
Okay. Well, and you say Riata. You mentioned the restaurant here, and I read that it has legendary cuisine, but that doesn't tell me what I'm looking at. What's the significance of Riata for those of us who can't remember 340, 380 episodes ago?
Well, go back and play that episode for crying out loud. No. So they call it cowboy cuisine. Okay. I would call it somewhat Mexican cuisine. So you'll have tacos and burritos.
So it's not as simple as saying it's Tex-Mex, though.
It's not. And I'm really struggling with the question you asked and how to describe it.
It's almost like a fusion of higher end. So they have a lot of beef tenderloin dishes that are very tasty. They have a wonderful pecan pie. They even have calf fries.
Okay.
So I'll let your readers Google what calf fries are. But
Rocky Mountain Oysters. Okay, got it.
That's right, Rocky Mountain Oysters. So if you prefer higher-end cuisine, there are two higher-end cuisine restaurants that we found, and there may be one in the El Paisano Hotel too. But in Terlingua, there is the Starlight Theater, where I had chicken-fried antelope and Janie had grilled quail. And then there's Riata. So if you like finer dining, those are the two places, but there are plenty of budget dining opportunities as well.
Okay.
So you won't find a lot of ethnic cuisine, Mexican, and then cowboy cuisine, but you're not going to find good Indian food or good Thai food there, or at least not that we found or looked for.
Okay.
So we'll stay in Alpine. And on day six, so the first thing you want to do when it opens up is go to the visitor center. The Alpine Visitor Center is excellent. They're very enthusiastic. They're very informative. And you want to get three different maps. So you want to get the windshield tour map, you want to get the walking map, and you want to get the mural map. And between the three of them, that will tell you everything that you want to see in Alpine, give or take a couple of things. And they'll also have an up-to-date list of the restaurants that are open and their hours.
Okay.
Which is also very useful. So after you've done that, we recommend you're going to hike to the TripAdvisor number one recommended activity in Alpine.
Okay.
It's a desk.
Okay.
On top of a mountain. mountain's a strong word.
Okay.
Because you can hike up to it, but hike up to the top of it, but there is a metal desk on top of a hill overlooking the town of Alpine.
It has a notebook and you're supposed to sign your name. And there's also a bicycle tree where enterprising people brought their bikes and hung them up in the tree.
Okay. You're sure they didn't take their friends' bikes and hang them up in the tree?
I think there would have been some other signs of anger had that happened. It's a good hike. So if you want to go there, go to Sol Ross University and you'll want to go into entrance 4 and you will want to go basically as far up the hill as you can and park when you run out of asphalt. There will be a bike rack there. And then you can kind of wend your way one of many ways to get to the desk. There's probably 8 or 9 different trails that get you up there, but they all kind of lead to the same place. So think of like if you hold your hand out, all the fingers are different trails. Eventually, they all lead to the desk. And then hang out there, take some pictures. It's probably an hour to hike that. Mm-hmm. It was about 250 feet elevation gain. So a good little workout. Come back down and go to the Museum of the Big Bend.
Which right now is actually beating the desk for number one on TripAdvisor, just so you know.
Oh, well.
Oh, wow.
I had nothing to do with the decline of rankings of the desk. So the Museum of the Big Bend will give you a good overview of the area and the history and why it's so important and why it was settled. And then once you've done that, we talked about Google Maps before. Enter the desk into Google Maps and drive the way that Google Maps tells you to get there. And you will get an entertaining little set of signs.
Easter egg.
Yeah, it's like an Easter egg. Entertaining little set of signs that one of the locals has laid out for the unsuspecting and generally technology dependent and lost traveler like we were. So that's a that's a fun little Easter egg to do.
Also, hold on really quickly, back to the desk. The map that we got from the Tourist Information Center only showed about 3 or 4 trails that led up to the desk.
Uh-huh.
there are many, many offshoots of those trails. So if you try to follow that map, you'll just sort of beat your head against a cactus because there are lots of offshoots that aren't on the map. Just generally keep going up the hill and you will eventually get there. And don't worry about whether or not you're on the blue trail or the red trail or the yellow trail, or I don't even know, there's not a fork on the map. And there's a fork in front of me and I don't know which way to go. Just keep kind of generally heading up and you'll get there.
Okay. Good to know.
All right. So then once you've done the museum, we did the mural tour. Mm-hmm. And I think there were about 30 murals.
Yeah, a little more than 30.
Yeah.
37 on the map. And then there were another 8 or so that were off the map.
Got it.
And a lot of the mural tour is walkable.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what I really liked about it. So if you kind of marry up the windshield tour pamphlet with the mural tour pamphlet, you're mm-hmm. able to catch the really neat and interesting artistic pieces of Alpine as well as any historical buildings that might be of interest to you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that... doing a mural tour took us about half a day walking around.
Okay.
Yeah, because we'd stop and see little things along the way or little shops.
I was going to say, you got distracted by shops or restaurants.
We did, yeah. There's a little area called Murphy Street right behind them. It's the street right beyond the train tracks, beyond mm-hmm. the main
yep.
street. And there's a row of really cute little shops and restaurants back there. There were a couple of artistic courtyards that you could walk through, and then we just kind of kept on walking around. Oh, what's on this street and what's on that street?
Yeah, and Alpine's a small enough town that you can say, hey, let's go wander down this street, and you're not going to get lost. It's pretty much a grid, and it's not very far. Mm-hmm. So you can pretty much wander to your heart's content, and it's not like you're going to suddenly find yourself out in the tumbleweeds and wonder how you got there.
Okay.
Although there are tumbleweeds out there.
Well, that's what I was thinking. We haven't really necessarily described this for somebody who's not familiar with the type of beauty that one finds in the West.
Yes.
But you mentioned the one place where we were seeing a lot of Douglas fir trees and bears and mountain lions. And other than that, we're talking about a lot of wide open vistas, where if you're up on anything 10 feet tall, you can see for miles.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, now Alpine is kind of, there are some hills in the area. Mm-hmm. Same with Fort Davis. Marfa was definitely a little flatter.
Okay.
But lots and lots of different kind of cacti.
Right.
And Alpine is up at about 5,000 feet in elevation.
Okay, which makes sense given the name. Yep.
Yeah. So the whole reason that we were initially intrigued by Alpine is, if you'll go back to the Fort Worth episode where we talked about Times 10 sellers, Times 10 gets their grapes from Alpine, Texas.
Huh.
So we thought, oh, well, there must be lots of wine out there. Well, it turns out that there's one winery in Fort Davis. It's not a wine lover's destination, but they do have vineyards out there. But it is at 5,000 feet, but it's still arid. You still see a lot of cacti. You see more mountains than you would expect, even mm-hmm. before you sure. get into the national park. To me, that was the interesting and neat part about driving around, is that, and I'm going to reference another episode that we did, a lot of the area is either mountainous or it looks like Namibia. Where okay. it's a lot of sand,
mm-hmm.
you get scrub brush, you get cacti, you get fences because there are huge ranches out there. So the drive from Alpine, or even going from Midland Odessa into Alpine and then Alpine down to the Big Bend National Park, was very reminiscent of Namibia to me.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to just draw a picture that, for instance, if your picture of beauty is Vermont,
right,
very wooded, very green, I like the beauty of the West, of the Southwest particularly, but it's a different kind of beauty. It's a much
Definitely.
More arid, much more rugged, and
right.
much more sparse kind of beauty.
Yes.
Yes.
And I didn't realize when I moved up to upstate New York how much I was missing that until I went to see a Western movie when I was at school for a year or something like that, and I didn't realize that I was getting a little claustrophobic as somebody who grew up in the West. So that's the kind of person who should be attracted to this. And if that doesn't sound good to you, this is not your episode. So
recommend that you go to the Bavarian Black Forest episode.
Mm-hmm. That's a very different kind of beauty. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. It was really fascinating, the different types of geologic features that are in that area. There's a lot of volcanic rock. There's a lot of cinnabar and red clay in that area. And then you've got the tuft that Jason talked about, that the dried ash. Mm-hmm. The rock-formed ash. But you've also got some sedimentary rock because you're close to the river area. And so it really was kind of a geologic wonderland. I was a little surprised that maybe there are some schools down there for geology, but I would think that would be a great place for it, because you've got all kinds of different examples. And then you've got, it is definitely desert vegetation.
Yes.
And it's a lot of plants that are lower to the ground, except for the cactus. And there were actually a lot of blue bonnets on the side of the road.
Okay. Texas wildflower.
Yes.
Yeah. State Park, Texas.
Both in the state park and in the national park.
Mm-hmm.
And a few other blooming flowers. But other than that, the only thing that was blooming was cactus.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
While we were there. Pretty, but you're absolutely right. A different kind of pretty, and one that it definitely has to be your thing.
Well, and I think it's something that people ought to go to one of those places that is that kind of beauty and see if it's their thing.
Right.
Because when I'm flying over the Southwest, I'm looking out the window because I think it's just an amazing, rugged beauty.
I wholeheartedly agree.
We haven't actually been to the Grand Canyon, but we've driven on the north side of it.
Uh-huh.
And if you've been there, you're going to feel like it's the first cousin to what you're seeing
there. Mm-hmm. Yep, I see that. Now, I think that's kind of wrapping up your itinerary.
Yep.
And my time slot.
Yep, definitely. So
we have some wrap-up questions that I understand you have answers to.
We are prepared.
First of all, we're standing in the prettiest spot in this area. Where are we standing and what are we looking at?
I think the Santa Elena Canyon, to me, was the prettiest spot.
Excellent.
And to me, the end of the Lost Mine Trail.
Did you find the Lost Mine?
I'm not going to tell you. So it's actually a 2.4-mile hike, but yep. Janie, being the natural mountain goat that she is, found a crevice where we could sit and snack and overlook a valley. And it was just spectacular.
Got it. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in the Big Bend area of Texas.
So this was at Chihuahuan Nature Hike. So there's an old well that's there that has a little nature walk. And there's a palm tree. As you drive up, you see the palm tree, and then you do this little nature walk. And so we're about to start on this trail, and these two lovely women come up and say, "Oh, hey, make sure that you look for the beautiful rattlesnake right by the palm tree." And never in my life would I imagine beautiful rattlesnake would be a phrase that I would hear.
Nope.
Right.
No, unless somebody's talking about it in a white wine sauce or something. That is not what I would think that sentence would go. And if you had to summarize the Big Bend area of Texas in just three words, what three words would you use?
This is where we had different ones.
You can get three different words each. We do that to save money on marital counseling.
Yeah.
Geology, melting pot, and history.
Okay.
And mine were vast, remote, and artistic.
Interesting. Okay. Excellent. Our guests again have been Jason and Janie Hull, professional guests on Amateur Traveler. And you did a write-up that we're going to link to in the show notes here of your trip that people can refer to.
Yes.
Is there
any details you ever cared to not read about? are in the show notes.
So we will link to that. And then Jason made reference to the enhanced version of the show. That tells you how long it's been since he's been on. We don't have an enhanced version of the show. Every version of the show now has pictures and links in it if you're using an appropriate podcast player. So perfect. Just as long as you have a podcast player that can play podcasts with chapters, you can be looking at your phone or wherever you consume your podcasts and seeing the pictures of this particular trip.
Well, thanks for letting Luddite old me come back on then.
Well, welcome back to Amateur Traveler, and thanks so much for coming on and sharing with us your love for Big Bend, Texas.
Thanks for having us, and hopefully we won't be strangers for another 8 years.
In the community news, first I'd like to thank the patrons of the show who help support the show financially. You can go to patreon.com/amateurtraveler if you're also interested in getting a show early or having a monthly Zoom call with me or getting an ad-free version of the show. I heard from Heidi about the show we did recently on Nicaragua. Love your podcast and listen and re-listen to episodes every day while I cook, etc. Today I listened to your more recent episode on Nicaragua, and wow, I was pleasantly surprised. It sure sounds like an amazing place, and it fits right in with my interests. I was planning when things open back up. I live in Canada and I'm still locked down to check out Costa Rica, but it's really not budget friendly. And then I heard your podcast with Michael Cobb and I did some researching and it really lit a spark in me. I just had a few questions to get me started for Michael. I bring this up because this is something that happens all the time where somebody has a question, but they don't know how to get a hold of the guest. I usually do. So if you send your questions to me, I can forward them along to the guest as I did in Heidi's case. With that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.